We get it almost every night.
You don't get better at anything on cocaine unless it's boring people to death with your life story.
I'm always curious what the 7-footer's packing.
Hello and welcome. We're back. That's the sound of me opening a beer right there, because I'll be honest, I think you guys know this about me. I am not. We record this show typically on Tuesday evening. Sometimes we do it on Monday. Sometimes we do it different days, but typically we record the show on Tuesday evening. And those of you that listen to the show know that I like to pursue a healthy lifestyle, which means I rarely, practically never, consume alcohol during the week. During the work week, I am a saint. I am a monk. Actually, monks drink tons of beer, so that's not a good example. The point is that I just got done watching a nail-biter NLDS Division Series game between my beloved Los Angeles Dodgers, who desperately tried to choke away another victory to the Nationals, but they were able to pull it out based on a Chase Utley, Chase Utley, whose hair is grayer than mine, despite probably being 5 years younger than me. This Chase Utley, he looks very vintage with all that gray hair. I also have a lot of gray hair. But he comes through with a veteran base hit to knock in a run to push the Dodgers across. And now I need to relax. My palms were very sweaty. I was getting tons of texts. And I will say this, the baseball season, all sports seasons, way too long. Baseball season, way too long. But the baseball playoffs are just about as good as it gets. There's not 17 rounds like there is in basketball. There's not the Bengals like there is in football. The baseball playoffs are very, very exciting. And by the time you hear this, the Dodgers will probably have been eliminated because they're going back to DC for game 5. But until then, we're going to take a sip. Thank you for joining us. Episode 139 of the show. Reach out, like I always tell you to do, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com, voicemail, blah, 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 Facebook. If you were on our Facebook page, you would see that I posted a thing about Harambe, and somehow some Brazilians have gotten hold of it, and they're tagging each other back and forth on my Dabs Out for Harambe post. If you just listen to the show, you don't know about that. If you're on our Facebook page, you know about that, so check that out. iTunes, somebody... couple of guys, Ryan and Austin, who's a good guy, one other guy whose name I forget. You guys capped that very jerky, very uncomplimentary. I mean, it was a 5-star review and it said nice things about the show, but it was specifically uncomplimentary about yours truly. So it's nice to see that one get capped. Go to iTunes, like our page, review it. I like seeing the new reviews up there. We should have many, many more because we have hundredfolds more listeners than we do reviews on iTunes, and that should change. That should change quickly. So go do that. And of course, patreon.com. Many of you have contributed to the show financially. Throw us a couple of bucks there. patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. We very much appreciate that. Joining me now, as always, Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Good. The other guy was Ray Moonlight.
Oh, Ray Moonlight, you're a hero.
As in Dancing in the Moonlight? One of the great supermarket songs? I feel like that's the type of song that plays in a supermarket.
Yeah, you know, the other one is, who's the, Bobby?
Oh my McFerrin? God.
No. Bobby, I'm so bad with names. I can't think, okay. I don't, never mind. Continue.
Okay.
How's it going?
Good. I got a couple things. One is probably cruel and hurtful, but he's in a commercial now, and I was really curious, why does Stephen Hawking have such bad teeth? Like he's got handlers. He doesn't eat sugar, right? He's just probably got a feeding tube. And he's British.
I saw the movie about Stephen Hawking. I would not recommend it.
Yeah, I didn't want to see it.
Stephen Hawking is one of the great geniuses of the world.
Of course.
I mean, one of the really, like, if you even try, like, I made the mistake of trying to read his book, A Brief History of Time.
And yeah, I tried that in, like, high school. I was like, what?
Yeah, and you're like, oh, this thing's like a pamphlet. It's only, like, 100 pages, and you can't read 2 pages of it. It's impossible to understand because this guy's a genius. He understands.
Literal genius, not like when people call fucking Al Pacino genius. Like, this is an actual genius.
He's an actual genius, but he has the actual worst possible disease. And I think there's
you're a prisoner in your own body.
Yeah, there's a little blame to go around here. And I'm looking at you, Lou Gehrig. Because if it weren't for you, you're the luckiest man on the face of the earth. You went all out. You played hard for the Yanks. But if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have this disease. All right? We wouldn't have all these people with this horrible ALS.
It is heartbreaking. And I mean, he's had it forever too.
Nobody
lives that long.
That's what I'm asking is how come ALS what happens is you lose all motor function, your body completely, your nervous system shuts down, your body stops working, and eventually your lungs, your organs.
Well, you can't swallow. You choke on your own spit.
They don't work anymore,
awful.
And you die. You die a horrible death, and that's why many, many people look to die with dignity, particularly when they have this awful disease. Now, this Stephen Hawking,
decades
known to frequent swingers clubs. By the way, this guy likes to watch.
Yeah.
He's well into his 70s. He might be 80, Ed. What's with the janky teeth? But how has he lived this long with ALS? He's had it since he was in his 20s.
He's getting top flight care, but not oral hygiene. I mean, he's got like 3 teeth that just stick out of his mouth.
It's crazy.
Weird.
It's crazy. Also, yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, he left his wife for his nurse.
Yeah.
He's such a genius that despite not having a functioning body, the guy is a coxman. He's a full-on coxman.
I guess he must just have, you know, otherworldly skills that we can't comprehend. Because, you know, he doesn't have much to offer physically, and he's still just at it.
Yeah, yeah, really, really taking care of business. Okay, what else is going on, Ed?
I feel there's a little bit of this overblown, you know, just over-discussed Trump story that I feel like we should discuss.
Yes.
And that is just the actual words when he's talking about locker room talk. Like, if somebody talked like that, I'd be like, that's kind of weird how you phrase that. Like, it reminded me in The 40-Year-Old Virgin when he's describing tits as a bag of sand.
You're not the first person I've heard say that, yes. When he's like, I just grab him and I just kiss him. I just grab him and start kissing him.
Grab
him
by the pussy and it's like, what?
Yeah, that's never worked for you.
And have guys like just like let you just say, yeah, so what, would you fish hook? Like, what are you talking about, buddy?
Right,
like,
what?
It would just be an odd conversation to have in the locker room. Like, I mean, it's baffling that this is the statement that's sinking his whole ship.
Right.
But just beyond that, like, this is like a sixth grader writing into Penthouse Forum and like not quite sure how it all goes and tries to use words that don't quite work. I found it to be very odd.
Totally, totally agree with you. Probably about 50th on the list of things I could think of off the top of my head that make Donald Trump not worthy, not
fit,
qualified
right.
to be the president of the United States. Like, it's definitely like just a gross way to talk. And it was just a weird conversation. And we're going to get more into it later. This might come up in Fancy Pop.
Okay.
Preview. But you totally agree. Like, it's just such an odd way of speaking, but in the grander scale, this is a guy that had a foundation that collected money that he said was going to go to veterans. And when they gave him the money, he took that money, and instead of giving it to veterans, he bought a Tim Tebow helmet and a painting of himself. And that, and everybody's like, oh, he's a straight shooter. And like, that's the kind of person we're dealing with here. So yeah, no, I don't think he's ever really just, I don't think he's a sexual assaulter. I think he's gross, but I think he's gross in 100 million different ways. And him saying that he likes to grab girls by the pussy. Of course he's never done that, because that's not a real thing that anybody does.
It's just an odd way to talk. Of course, like, of course. It's just that, yeah, I mean, whatever. It's well established he's a shithead. I just thought that was the story that people weren't really addressing. Like, how odd the whole statement was.
It's very weird. Ed, an aside.
Yeah.
It's Frankie Valli that I'm thinking of. This is that's my number one.
Oh, I hate
this is Frankie my Valli. Number one grocery store song. This, anytime you go to the grocery store, this is the song that comes on. Oh, What a Night by Frankie Valli.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I haven't been probably, I think I got some carving knife situation maybe a year ago. Yeah. But every time I've been in Bed Bath & Beyond, they are firmly stuck in like 1995. Natalie Merchant is in the stable.
Oh, yes. 10,000 Maniacs. Yes.
Yeah. It's always Natalie Merchant delting out some hits. Now this they're the only people that think of her.
Frankie Valli. Hold on. Let's jam a little bit. Now, Frankie Valli, he's got to be a Jersey guy, right, Ed? Is this one of your heroes?
Isn't that Jersey Boys?
Yeah, Jersey Boys.
I loathe doo-wop. Loathe that. It's awful.
It's terrible. But when this...
Well,
but when
it's this, a close cousin to the Beach Boys, buddy. So let's go.
When this jam comes on when you're at a grocery store, I mean, you're bobbing your head and you're singing along every time. Come on. Here we go.
Oh, what a night. Woo!
Deuce chills. Music.
Feeling.
But I'm not, ironically, I do really enjoy the hell out of Dancing in the Moonlight.
Oh, yeah, that's a jam. That's a hot track. Yeah. I'm not.
We get it almost every night.
So hot. Like, that's a real, yeah. I'm really feeling that. I agree with you. Okay, what, do you have more?
No, that's all. That's all. It was mainly just to take a shot at Stephen Hawking for some strange reason. He's in a commercial now. He's in a commercial, like, during NFL games.
That's crazy.
Odd.
And you know what? Oh, that reminds me. Book recommendation. I'm reading it right now, and I'm fascinated. It's called... It's
better not be Hawking's book.
No, because I couldn't read that.
Can't read it. Nobody can read that.
There's a book that's kind of like... I think the idea behind this book was that you can't understand the origins of the universe by reading Stephen Hawking's book. So this writer, I think he's Australian, Bill Bryson, he's written lots of books. He wrote a book, and it's called A Short History of Nearly Everything. And it's not a new book. I think it's probably at least a decade old, but it's new to me. And it explains the origins of the universe in a way, in a complete way, in a scholarly way, but also is an interesting read. And it helps you understand how just fucking cosmic and ridiculous and accidental and small everything that we see around us is. Like, we're so insignificant in the scheme of things that our tiny brains can't even process how little we are in universe.
I know of the book, and yep. I'll give you a little teaser that I have been working on a history of the world book.
Oh, you have?
That's what I'm working on.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
But it's decidedly unscientific.
Of course. Well, that's even better.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been this has been a long project that I've been chugging along.
I haven't finished Bryson's book yet. I'm probably about halfway through it at this point, and Conrad Bain has yet to make an appearance. So I have something to look forward to in your book.
He'll get there.
Okay.
He'll get there.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, email. People reached out. This has been a hot topic. This has been pointed out on Twitter. This has been pointed out in email. I believe I've even gotten some private messages about this. Gents, are we going to pretend that there were not one but two separate yet equally disconcerting dings from a cell phone during episode 137? Now, normally I would ask which one of you degenerates rolls with an annoying feature like my 12-year-old daughter, but I don't want to insult Ed. Brian, spelled with a Y. SMH, your pal Rome Show. We've addressed this. I've synced. I'll say it one more time. This is the last time I'm going to address it here. I've synced my phone and my computer. This the sound on my phone is off. What you heard is the ding coming out of my computer because my texts come to both places. They're synced together. So I don't have to, if somebody texts me and I can just ignore it by letting it pop up on my computer, I don't have to look at my phone and see who texts me. But for some reason, when I plug in my podcasting equipment, I turn the sound off on my computer. I also exit that app. But then if somebody texts me, it still comes through and it still makes a noise. I don't know why. I haven't figured it out yet, but this is hope. And also, people seem to really want to text me during the 1 hour a week that I'm recording this podcast.
Yeah, I've gotten like three texts just in the last 15 minutes or so. In your defense, there are a lot of updates and stuff with Apple. And I love my MacBook.
Of course you do.
But there are updates and chimes and things. I don't think it's ever popped up with on my end for the podcast.
Right.
But I understand how that shit happens. It's
whatever.
But yeah, I keep it on vibrate, but for some reason when I'm if I'm listening to music on my phone through the Bluetooth in the car, the ring when it rings, it'll actually be a ringtone for some reason. That's the only time I hear a ringtone.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
It'll stop whatever music I'm listening to and it'll be a regular ringtone. And then I actually have a personalized ringtone that only pops up when I'm driving and my mom calls. It's For Whom the Bell Tolls, just so I know to be on high alert. Because that's a great intro. It's like, and you're just like, mom, like white knuckle driving. You're like, okay, mom, all right, I'm ready for this one.
That's great. My mom rarely calls me. But I feel like I need that for, no one ever calls me and it's great. I love not getting calls.
Yeah, I've cut it to a minimum. But my cell phone recently has gotten on some lists.
Yeah, I've got that.
I'm starting to get in like the energy garbage calls. Yeah. I don't know what to do.
You know what it is? I think it's your fucking voter registration. Because I got something the other day. The Wall Street Journal wanted to poll me.
Oh, but I don't sign up for anything with my cell phone.
I don't sign up for anything either, but I don't.
I use my home phone that doesn't exist.
Right. Yes. We've talked about that. Okay, here's another one. Guys, I'm watching the news this week, and I see a story that the Texas Education Agency is requesting $400,000 in additional funds to investigate improper student-teacher relationships.
Wow.
One, is the investigation any more complex than a simple visual hand inspection? These dudes are getting so many high fives, they probably can't write their name on their homework. Two, can we agree if your job description is to investigate student-teacher relations, you should immediately be put on a watch list? I mean, Ed, I often investigate student-teacher relations on websites around the internet.
Yeah, there's a whole category
And sometimes I investigate babysitter relations, and sometimes
fake agent.
Yes, all of the above. I like there's a doctor, but the doctor needs to do a certain examination on you, and at first you're not that into it, or maybe you're getting a massage, and all of a sudden the massage starts to feel a little bit sexual. I investigate all that kind of stuff. Number three,
one question about this.
What?
I mean, we've done so many of these stories, and I wonder, like, is this like police brutality in that it's always been going on, but in the age of social media and cell phones, like, we're just being exposed to it more? Or is, like, this just a new thing? I mean,
it's more.
Because I live right by a high school, and I can tell you, high school boys are terrible.
Yeah, they're the worst.
It's not like they've evolved in society and now high school boys are interesting or, you know, not jerk-offs. Like, they're all jerk-offs.
Awful.
All of them.
Awful. But, well, we'll get into this later.
Okay.
Or we won't get into it. But there are a few professions that seem to attract an inordinate amount of nutty chicks. And I never thought this before, but I'm starting to believe that high school teacher is creeping up to the top of the list of the nuttiest chick professions.
Well, one of my sisters is a high school teacher.
Well, I'm sure she's fine. And he finishes number three. Why, God, why did this not exist when I was in school? Would love to hear your thoughts on this. That is from Ross. Well, I appreciate it, Ross. I don't know why this wasn't a thing when you were in school, but I wish it was a thing when I was in school. And I wish so much.
Yeah, I told my story how I tried to make it a thing, and it was decidedly not a thing.
I often try to make it a thing via the means of fantasy.
Mm. Oh, it definitely happened. Just I was the only person there when it happened.
Right, exactly. Another email. Hey guys, important question. Is it just me, or do migraine sufferers always seem to get a migraine when there is something they don't want to do? Very coincidental and suspicious. Drew in West LA, migraine truther. That's an excellent email. Yes, I have.
That's excellent.
That. Yes.
I would think it's a real thing. But yeah. I absolutely love the theory.
Oh, totally.
And I used to work with a migraine sufferer who it did come up at convenient times for her.
Yes.
And inconvenient times for me.
Well, yes. Growing up, I can say this. Growing up, my mother was a severe migraine sufferer. And I'm sure we have people within the sound of our voice that know what I'm talking about here that also suffer from this. Migraine headaches are a fucking debilitating pain, level of pain. If you have a migraine headache,
see, right?
Yeah, they're supposedly hereditary. I have not been afflicted with this, but my mother has it. I've had a couple in my life, but only a couple. That it is such an intense thing that happens to you that when someone goes, oh, I feel terrible, I have a migraine. Well, you don't. You don't have a migraine because if you have a migraine, you need to get in bed. You know, you can't leave the house. You are in such a way that life ends until that migraine goes away. So I'm kind of with this Drew in West LA here. I feel like people have jumped on the backs of actual migraine sufferers and are piggybacking their way to saying, oh, yeah, me too. I got that too. When really they don't. They just maybe have a regular headache, or maybe you have a bad headache. You know what? Drink more water. It's usually dehydration. Drink some water.
Or maybe.
Asshole. Yeah.
Or maybe you're a lying asshole.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It can sometimes be that like they just want to get out of work.
Totally.
Oh, I got a migraine.
Plenty of those. Plenty of those out there. You know it's one that I feel is completely made up.
What?
And I don't want your emails on this. Irritable bowel syndrome. That's a psychosomatic situation. I mean, I'm not a doctor here, Ed, but if there's no way to sort of medically diagnose and treat the situation, it's in your brain. That's a problem with your brain, not your bowels, right?
Well, I think it's there are certain foods that people can't process.
Lactose intolerance. You know what?
But there's a variety of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there are a variety of things. And so I think, you know, certain foods fuck up certain systems. But, I don't know about irritable bowel. That just is like across the board shitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know what?
I think you just haven't examined your diet, maybe.
You know what? Sometimes when I have that, but it's only certain kinds. So, you know that like red chili hot sauce that you get in like a Chinese restaurant or Vietnamese restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
It's delicious. It's got tons of little chili peppers and oil, and it's very spicy and very tangy. I love that stuff. So whenever I have that kind of food, I pile it on. Oftentimes we'll go to dim sum on a Sunday and I'll pile the shit on that. But certain kinds, like if I buy it in the jar and bring it home, it really affects me in an unfortunate way. And it's usually the next morning, Ed. And it's usually while I'm driving my car. And I need to stop.
Yeah, and it's quick. It's coming on.
Yeah. Oh,
it's coming hot and heavy.
It's a done deal, yep.
I'm kind of the same way. Like there's certain types of spicy foods.
Right.
And if I have it and I like it, I'm not like a huge spice guy, but like... Yeah, there's certain spicy foods, and that shit goes through me like Grant through Richmond. Okay. Like I am fucking done, but I still do it because whatever we have, we choose our battles in
life,
right?
That's exactly right. I totally agree with you. That was an excellent email, by the way, Drew in West LA, Migraine Truther. I love particularly like your signature there. Here's one, Ed.
What do we got?
This is not from Writes a Bill, but just from another listener. We have a Daily's Choice.
Oh, atta boy.
It's a choice I made. Daily's Choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
Just before the show, Ed, I was having my pre-show urination. I was evacuating my bladder.
Heavy stream?
To the show. And yeah, I had a nice stream coming out.
Nice.
And I found myself humming in my head the Daily's Choice theme. It's very catchy.
It's pretty fucking catchy. One of my buddies texted me and said, you've really reached the pinnacle in life of, I mean, you got your own theme song.
Absolutely.
I'm very amazing. Proud of it.
Yeah, you should. Great. Okay, here's the first one. Food Network hosts, and I just feel like this isn't Ed's wheelhouse here. Mario Batali versus Tyler Florence. Do you know these guys?
To be completely honest, I've never even heard the name Tyler Florence.
Yeah.
Never heard of him. Yes. I'm familiar. Batali's had some successful restaurants in New York and stuff. Moxa, I know him, and I have no desire to look at Batali's hog.
No,
none whatsoever. No. I have no idea who Florence is, but I can tell you that it's not going to be Batali.
Good choice, because Tyler Florence is one, although it might anger you, Tyler Florence is one of these real handsome dudes. Like, really, there's a reason that I don't know how good of a chef he is.
He's like the chick with the big tits.
But he's just really good looking and charismatic, and definitely if you want, first of all, Mario Batali, I'm sure, is a great guy. He wears Crocs.
Oh,
issue number one. Secondly, and I maybe this has changed since I don't really keep an eye on the guy's career. He's an overweight guy, and he's not. I would say
Batali.
Yes, Batali. He's severely overweight. To the point where it probably affects your viewing.
And he has like a gross neck beard. He's a pretty gross looking dude.
Yeah, he's not a handsome guy. Tyler Florence, he's beautiful. Okay, he's got another one. Current and former Russian NBA players. Timothy Mozgov, Laker, versus Andre.
He was part of the Melo trade to New York.
Oh, right.
He was a Knick originally.
Oh, wow. Andre AK-47 Kirilenko.
Well, Mozgov's a 7-footer.
Yeah, you'd have to look up.
But AK-47,
he's like 6'11", dude. He's one of those tall guys, but he plays.
Yeah,
outside.
He was a skilled, and he was nailing some hot Russian pop star.
Yeah,
at least once upon a time.
They were married.
When in doubt, I'm going with the 7-footer. I'm always curious what the 7-footer's packing.
Timothy Mozgov is a huge dude. Although Andrei Kirilenko, he was married to that Russian pop star, but yet he was allowed to such an extent that he was allowed to say he was allowed. He was allowed 1 yearly transgression.
Wow.
And that is...
So as an NBA player, that's just you bang every road trip, and then when you get caught with one, you're like,
that was the
one. There's my one.
That was the one. but also, Andrei Kirilenko had angel's wings tattooed on his back, so that was like a knot. He might not have been using that transgression. That was from our buddy Pete Shalitsky. Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
Excellent email. Thank you. Ed. That's actually a pretty seamless transition, because we were just talking about sports. We were talking about the packages of athletes. What is going on in the world of sports? Let's do some sports content here.
Let's do it. World champion pole vaulter Shaughnessy Barber tested positive for cocaine after winning the Canadian Olympic trials in July, but was allowed to compete in Rio after an arbitrator ruled that he inadvertently ingested the cocaine while kissing a woman he had solicited for sex on Craigslist the night before the trials. To explain his doping violation, Barber said that he posted in Craigslist casual encounter section under the pseudonym to solicit a drug and disease-free professional woman to help relieve the stress the night before the trials in Edmonton. A man responded with pictures of a woman and informed Barbara that the woman was a mother of two, which Barbara liked because he thought it meant she was, quote, more cautious and reserved.
Oh, Canada, you're so naive.
Instead, the woman admitted to doing a couple bumps of yayo and down a 24-ounce bottle of vodka before their half-hour encounter.
Wow, she really, really does not like her job.
Now, Brian, shouldn't this guy be banned because he was searching for a cautious and reserved woman on Craigslist?
Yeah, absolutely. Although, there's a couple of things here. One, cocaine, not a performance-enhancing drug. Like, you're not, you don't get better at anything on cocaine unless it's boring people to death with your life story. Like, if that's, if his event was saying the most words in 3 minutes and he did cocaine first, then by all means, ban him from the sport. But he's a pole vaulter. Like, that's, he's not going to get better by being on coke. He can only get worse.
It just gets him mentally high. It doesn't help him get higher on the pole.
Also, Canada. Like, this, you're Canada. You're, how many athletes do you send to the Olympics? How many medals do you win? Just, don't worry about it. Like, this does not make a big deal. It costs money to test for all these drugs.
And everybody thinks you guys are cool anyway. Stop being uncool.
You guys are cool. Ben Johnson. You know, that guy won the 100 meters.
Like, dude was fun to watch.
Yeah. This
guy he had yellow eyes.
The guy was very, very muscular. He was a very muscular spinner. But you know what? All those other guys were on roids too. And it's cool.
Of course they were. Robert, what's his name? Carl Lewis. Dude had braces.
Yes, he got braces in his 20s. Like, that's not normal. So I'm totally okay with it. What I'm not okay with, I'm not a hooker guy, Ed.
No.
But if I were a hooker guy, I certainly wouldn't be make out with a hooker guy. Like, isn't the whole idea of a hooker that you just you dispense with the pleasantries? Like, kissing
is a means to an end for the guy.
Yes.
Like, you don't need that.
Like, I watched that show on Showtime, The Girlfriend Experience, starring Riley Keough, who I'm a huge fan, Elvis's granddaughter. I could not recommend.
Yeah, you've mentioned it. I do need to check it out.
It's very much a guilty pleasure. Like, you're not going to be enriched by watching this show, but this Riley Keough, she is naked throughout the series, Ed. And she's one of these people that she looks really fantastic naked. So I really support her being naked in anything she wants to do. Sure. But I don't recall there being like make out. Like, she probably did make out because she was giving them the whole experience. But it's up to you. Like, you can choose what services you want. And I would just opt for no make outs, especially a Canadian mother of two on vodka.
Yeah, how did that make him more interested when they're like, yeah, she's got two kids? Well, no, thank you.
Well, it seems to me that that's one of those things where he's just adding on more lies just because he wants to keep talking to make it seem like he's innocent, where he's like, oh, no, I was really into her being a mother of two. And it's like, just
they meant for a half hour.
Yeah, just say the least, like say as little as possible.
Well, he got away with it. They gave him the green light. They're like, you know what? It's fine. It's fine. He finished like 10th in the Olympics.
He wasn't going to. It's Canada. He wasn't going to win anyway. You know, like no big deal. But I guarantee you, he comes home and he gets to do like Canadian, like Saskatchewan, like Regina, the Regina Buick dealership. Like he's got that sponsorship locked down. Or like
he's going to like pole vault over a Honda Civic.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, or like the Banff. Tourism board, like has him like pole vault the cross country ski course or something. Yeah, like leave the guy alone. He's just trying to, you know, he did a couple bumps, no big deal. Ed, what else?
Well, let's keep it in the cocaine family here.
I'd say I got no problem with that.
A year ago, British gypsy Tyson Fury upset Vladimir Klitschko to win the heavyweight championship of the world. Now, as you might remember from our show last year, he celebrated by singing a late 90s Aerosmith song to his wife. With his bigger profile, Fury also let the world know all about his sexist and homophobic views.
Yeah.
He was He was stripped of his IBF title belt because he signed another agreement which prevented the number one contender from fighting him, so he lost that belt. And then the rematch with Klitschko has been postponed a couple times. And then on Twitter, Fury has sent out profane rants to impromptu rap videos to a recent photoshopped image of himself sitting behind a mountain of Scarface-worthy coke.
I love it.
To, in the past 24 hours, an announcement of his retirement followed by an immediate retraction, both of which made worldwide headlines. Ha ha ha, you think you'll get rid of the Gypsy King that easy? I'm here to stay, was his tweet. Well, Brian, I think we finally have our answer to why the heavyweight champ has been so mercurial. Clown powder.
Yeah.
I only started taking cocaine in the last few months. He talks like McCartney. He's got this weird cadence. Listen, I've done a lot of things in my life. I've done lots of cocaine. Lots of it. Why shouldn't I take cocaine? It's my life, isn't it? I can do what I want. Yeah, I've done cocaine. Plenty of people have done cocaine as well. What the fuck has that got to do with anything? That ain't a performance-enhancing drug. Am I not allowed to have a life as well? Now, Brian, I'm embarrassed to ask this question, but isn't this dummy 100% right?
Totally right. He's 100% right. He's only hurting himself by doing cocaine. That's got to affect the training. I wonder if he's hanging with this Canadian pole vaulter. And they're hitting some bumps together. Like, this, you know, they obviously have similar interests.
I like that he just picked up cocaine in the last few months.
Like, yeah, I know. Well,
he's in his 30s.
But he sort of contradicts himself where he's like, I only started doing it a couple months ago. But then in the very next sentence, just reenacted in your fantastic Jippo accent is that he's done tons of cocaine. Like,
Did you see that Brian Gumbel piece on him?
No, I didn't. Is that on the recent one?
It was probably 4 months ago or something. But they like asked him, like, there's been some comments that you've got some sexist views, and you know, here's your chance to address that. He's like, oh no, I think their only place for women is in the kitchen or on their back. And they're like, okay. Like, he's fucking gonzo. And he's like, they just don't like it. People are mad at me, not because of my sexist views, because I'm a gypo. And it's like, well, it's true. No, they just don't like you because you're a fucking douche who sung Aerosmith to your wife.
I will say this. Was it Vladimir? Yeah,
Vladimir
Klitschko.
With a W.
Yeah, Vladimir Klitschko was the heavyweight champion of the world, undisputed, for like 10 years.
Yeah, he probably just got bored.
And no one knew. And this Tyson Fury guy, who's like 7 feet tall, this Vladimir Klitschko is like 6'7 or 6'8. And this Tyson Fury dwarfs him in the ring.
Klitschko looks like a Greek god. He looked like fucking, yeah, you know, just...
Tyson Fury looks like shit. And he, not only did he defeat the heavyweight champion, he beat him up. Like, he won pretty much every round.
It was a crummy fight, though. It was like, really, it felt like you were watching Gypsy fighting.
Yeah, it was the heavyweight title was being fought for at 4 o'clock on regular TV from Dusseldorf, Germany.
Like, yeah, my buddy's like, are you watching the heavyweight title fight right now? And I was like, what? It was like a Saturday, like during college football. Yes. Like, it was just a random.
I turned it on. I'm like, oh, is this like taped? Or I think maybe I saw on Twitter or something. And I was like, oh, is this like, this is happening? Like, right now?
Live.
Like, it's daylight. This is so weird. That said, we need more Tyson Fury. We haven't had enough Tyson Fury. Let's hear a little serenade from Tyson Fury.
You know what? I promised everybody I'd sing a song after this fight. So this is to my UK fans, my
promised.
English fans, my American fans, and my new German fans.
Yeah.
But most of all, this is dedication to me wife.
And for me wife.
Me wife, yeah. He doesn't understand the word.
Just to see
that's got a good voice.
Watch you smile while you were sleeping.
Yeah.
And all these like bloodthirsty boxing fans are watching this and they're like, all right, let's get out of here.
Also, isn't this this is the Diane Warren penned Aerosmith song from the Armageddon soundtrack.
I was in the car with the kids.
Oh, you were?
The other day, like I took them somewhere, and it was and it was early Aerosmith. Yeah. And it was the original Walk Toys This Way. Attic.
Yeah, oh, classic.
Mm-hmm. And it's a fucking good song, yeah. And rocking, and they're like, oh, yeah, they were into it, and they knew the song. I think they knew the Run DMC version.
Yes.
But they were into it, and I was like, no, these guys, it was cool. And they're like, do they have any other stuff? And I was like, well, no. They stopped in the 70s.
Just
like,
one of those bands that should have been killed in a plane crash.
Yeah, like, I think what's his name? Tyler was close in a motorcycle accident.
But yeah,
it didn't take.
Would have been. We would look at them. We would look on at them in a much different light.
Because Toys in the Attic songs like really kicked ass.
Totally,
they were good, and then they were terrible.
Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, Ed. What else?
Let's go to the NFL.
I'm really loving sports shit. Yeah, NFL.
Yeah, we took a break last week from sports. It was a very special episode, but
that was I got a message from one of our listeners, and they said, tough week to introduce your friends to the Baller Lifestyle podcast, and then in quotes it said, do they ever not talk about dicks?
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, totally.
Carolina Panthers fullback Mike Tolbert took his car to Motion Lab Tuning to get some work done. When he was given the $3,900 bill, Tolbert took to Instagram to claim the place was raking him over the coals because he was a millionaire. The shop's owner fired back, saying Tolbert wanted a bunch of free shit because he was in the NFL. Anyway, when it was time to pay, Tolbert tried to pay with a check. And when the owner said they don't accept personal checks, Tolbert went to the bank and got $3,900 in coins. The arguing continued, and now police have banned the NFL player from the auto body shop. Brian, the coins were without question a dick move. But isn't the worst part of the story that Mike Tolbert was trying to write a check?
Yeah, he was. Well, especially because this is a disputed transaction. Like, they'd had words, and then finally Tolbert agrees to pay. Obviously, there was some tension there. And he goes, oh, I'll just write you a check. And this body shop guy or this auto mechanic or whatever, aftermarket guy, is like, oh, no. You're not writing me a check. You were just trying not to pay me my $3,900. You were trying to get some free shit because you're in the NFL. You're not writing me a check. So then he went, it is kind of a baller move to go and get like stacks and stacks of dimes and shit. But isn't the joke really on you at that point, Mike Tolbert? Like, you're the guy that
had to do a lot of work now.
Yeah, you're the, like, you could have just handed him your credit card and been done with it and moved on.
This is probably his off day from doing lifting and stuff with the football team.
Right. And do you think the bank employees like just happened to have $3,900 in nickels hanging around? Like, that was probably hard to get together. They might have had to call another bank. They might have had to call in
lots of trips,
change order.
Probably like 5 trips to the bank.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
Yeah, like not worth it. Not worth it at all. Also, I don't like, I've seen this story a couple different places. They don't tell us the kind of vehicle or the kind of work that got done.
Yeah.
This is what I need to know.
I looked at a couple different stories, and none of them said anything about the type of car. But also, he's a fullback.
Yeah, let's fuck with him.
But, well, I was thinking the other way. The NFL has fucked with fullbacks. Like, there's about 7 left. So let's not get too mouthy with everyone. Be a good citizen, be a beloved member of the community, and maybe they'll keep you around for special teams. Like, fullbacks don't, there's not many left.
That's true. Well, Mike Tolbert was a former Charger.
Yeah.
And they would always, when they'd get in the red zone, this is back when the Chargers used to get in the end zone. They haven't done that in a few years since they don't have Mike Tolbert anymore. Mm-hmm. When they'd get inside the 20-yard line, they'd give it to Mike Tolbert, and he would blast himself.
He was like
the
a bowling
line.
Ball, right?
Yeah, and he would just drag everybody with him into the end zone. This guy was a touchdown machine. I don't know what he's doing on Carolina, but I wouldn't fuck with him. I wouldn't fuck with him if I was fixing his car. That's for sure.
Yeah, the Redskins used to have like a fullback for several years. People liked, and then like one off season, they're like, "Yeah, we don't have a fullback anymore." We need that, like, tight ends just getting in the backfield, but no more fullback. Like, they just don't exist.
Yeah. You got to be able to line up in the slot. These days, you got to be an H-back. You got to be able to line up in the backfield. You got to be able to line up in the slot. You got to be able to play a little special teams. You got to be able to break that wedge. It's the gig economy, Ed. This is the world we live in now. You got to be able to do a lot of different things.
And you got to be a beloved member of the community if you're a fringe roster guy.
That's true. This story comes from the "Why didn't this kind of shit ever happen to me" files. Woman accused of getting back at ex by sending naked pics to his teenage son.
That'll show him.
A 46-year-old woman slid into a teenager's DMs and tried to send him nudes. Now she's in trouble with the law, Ed. According to the police, Charlotte Clazaris of Iowa admitted that she sent images to her ex-boyfriend's 17-year-old son in an attempt to embarrass her former lover. Got to be concerned about Charlotte's motivation here, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
How is sending naked pictures of yourself embarrassing to someone else?
Right.
It's not really the best use of logic right there. I don't really think she thought this one through, or maybe next time bounce it off somebody. Hey, here's what I'm thinking about. Like, Jerry, he was a dick to me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send some naked pictures of myself to his son. Like, if you maybe
jokes on him.
There, yeah. Just like say it out loud, or, you know, just maybe talk to your priest or your therapist.
She must have one friend she can confide in. It's one.
Right. KCCI's report details that Clazaris said her ex threatened to send embarrassing images to her family, so she decided to preemptively do the same. Again, see, what she didn't realize is that he meant embarrassing pictures of her.
I'll embarrass me. That's like when Bugs Bunny would like switch it up when you're having the argument.
Yes.
Left, right, left, right, right, left, left. I said it's left.
Yes, that's exactly right. According to the DailyMail.com, which is basically the greatest website, court documents show that the woman sent nude images of her. Oh, Ed, things are about to take a turn.
Uh-oh.
Sent nude images of her and her ex to ex's son via Facebook Messenger.
So I don't think you want to say things I wish happened to me. You want to picture your dad boning some woman?
When I was a kid, I was in high school.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine, his dad had some Polaroids of himself banging the stepmom. And I'm going to leave the names out of this.
Oh.
But you know who you are. And he'd let me take a gander at those. Like, he'd let me check that out. But he was definitely not hanging out, like, observing himself. Like, he was not.
Jesus.
He was not involving himself, but he was like, hey, she want to see something funny. You check those. And I had a look, you know, I checked it out. His stepmom was a little bit younger. One of the images featured Clazaris by herself, while the Des Moines Register reports that the photos were sent to other relatives as well. The 46-year-old realtor whose name appears on signs around Iowa reminds me of that movie. It's got Paul Rudd and Jason Segel. Well,
that's a good movie. I Love You, Man.
I Love You, Man. Where
that's pretty good.
He makes ads for Paul Rudd's realtor character, and it really makes his career take off. I feel like this Charlotte Clazaris might be in the same situation. Like, it's an accidental thing that really is helpful for her. But with the bad publicity like this, there's no guarantee business will be booming when or if she gets past her legal troubles. So, Ed, we were talking about this earlier. I need a ranking from you. What profession attracts the most crazy women? Is it nurse, high school teacher, hairdresser, or real estate agent?
I think it might it might be the reverse of what you said. I think real estate agents are, they're a very needy, odd group of people. Yeah, then hairdressers, then maybe high school teachers, then nurses.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm going to go that. The lowest ranked, huh?
Well, lowest, I mean, there are a billion other professions. I feel like when I think of nurses, I think more anger. I think there are a lot of angry nurses.
Yeah.
More than crazy. Like I find a lot of hostile nurses when I've been around hospitals. Like,
yeah.
But you know, this whole story, it's worth doing a little digging. Cause I, you know, you hear the stories. Well, what was this? What were the pictures? This chick looks like Vince Neil.
Well, I thought about that. I thought about that because you're right. She's a regular places four, which makes her an Iowa nine. Like,
oh, I don't even, I she's her realtor picture, like the one that's on the bench. That's a regular person four.
Yeah.
But I saw some pictures when you just did a Google image search. And
me too. That was a mistake. That was a mistake.
Not good.
The pictures in the story, you're like, oh, this chick's all right. She's 46. She's keeping it together. Then you do a Google search and you get the full picture and it's like not as good.
Yeah, the lighting isn't as good. You see more of a full body shot. Not good. Maybe Greg the Hammer Valentine looking.
Yes, yes, that's a good. That's a good comparison. Yes, I agree. Ed, there's amongst the most boring people I can think of, the most innocuous, unexciting people I can think of, I would have to, like, if I were running for president, I would certainly not have picked this guy as my running mate. Of course, I'm talking about vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine.
Yeah, our next VP is going to be the definition of milquetoast.
He is so dull. You know, Ed, I don't know if you know this. He speaks Spanish.
He loves showing off.
Is he a senator from Virginia? This is how versed I am. When he was on, when they did the Saturday Night Live of him this week, I tuned in to watch my guy Alec Baldwin, who is a fucking genius. His Trump.
He's so talented.
It's just amazing. I heard Norm Macdonald talking on his podcast. He had Bill Hader on his podcast.
Yeah, that was a good one.
And they were talking about Alec Baldwin. They were like, oh, no, he has the chops. He could just be on that show.
Right.
Like, he's just that good. And he is on that show now as Trump. And he's so genius, too. But they did Tim Kaine, and they introduced him as Senator Tim Kaine. And I was like, isn't that guy the governor of Virginia? But now I'm asking you this. Did he used to be the governor of Virginia and now he's a senator from Virginia? Or did I just make up the part where he was the governor? Or do you know?
I thought he was the governor.
Yeah, me too. And they said senator on Saturday Night Live. And I was like, I thought he was a governor. Okay.
Nah, I think that's just a mistake.
Anyway, this guy, well, I like being right. This guy's out on the campaign trail and he's so milquetoast, Ed. Like, he's probably having trouble drawing crowds, getting people out to his rallies. Like, they're not, you don't ever want
rallies are supposed to be about excitement.
Right. You don't ever want the second best guy. Like, if you're really fired up, you want to go see when Hillary comes and has a rally. You're not really fired up to go see Tim Kaine. Like, I don't think anybody's really bouncing out to see Mike Pence have a rally. They want to see the Donald. Well, this Tim Kaine's getting out there and you could tell that he needs some help because they're putting some they're trying to get some star power out there with him. And you'd figure that they would try to, like, give him some edge, like maybe get him up there with Snoop Dogg, maybe somebody with, like, a little gravitas that people would want to come to see.
Somebody a little dangerous.
Unfortunately, that's not the case. Tim Kaine is going to be appearing this week on stage in Colorado with Dave Matthews. The worst. I don't even want to say his music is the worst, because his music is so innocuous and so uninteresting that he's basically the Tim Kaine of musicians. Would you agree, Ed?
Yeah, I would put Jimmy Buffett as the worst.
Oh, there you go. Jimmy,
it's boring to even think about Dave Matthews music.
Yeah, it really doesn't inspire much excitement.
And I was thinking, like, they're a swing state, so he's there trying to build excitement. And I was thinking it would be a pretty cool move if he said, okay, like, they've got this great Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Like a great amphitheater. Yes. If he said, you know what? We're going to use funds and we're going to have Dave Matthews play here every night of the year at Red Rocks and ruin this venue. Unless you vote for Hillary. That would be a boss move, you know? Like, that would be like, all right, this guy's actually pretty cool.
Right.
That's the only acceptable way he could use him.
We're going to sick David, unless you vote for Hillary, we're going to sick Dave Matthews on you.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. He will be at Red Rocks. There'll be no other venue. There'll be no other acts performing at Red Rocks. None.
It's like at what's the on Cuba, when you go to Cuba, there's a base. Gitmo. Guantanamo Bay. It's like at Guantanamo Bay when they want to get the guys, when they're interrogating all the bad guys there, they blast like AC/DC and Metallica because they feel like they are going to hate that. Like, it's too grating. They're not going to want to be.
Did you see John Oliver this week?
No.
One of the guys said they just would play Whitesnake. Here I go again on my own, over and over again.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, that's really fucked up.
But imagine, like, the army guys, the CIA guys, they have to hear that too.
Yeah,
I feel like they have a workers' comp claim.
That's how I feel about, if you're working in prison, like in a prison.
Yeah,
you're just punching it. You're in prison. You're right. in there with them. It's a miserable, miserable job.
Well, the guard at a prison is a hair's breadth on the sociopath scale away from the people he's guarding. Like, you don't take that job because you're not on
who wants
the borderline.
Low pay, no daylight, and misery.
Yes, exactly.
Only worst profession, flight attendant.
That's true.
Would you like to be a waitress at the world's worst restaurant with no tips and grumpy customers?
And everybody's an asshole, yes. I gotta agree with you there. Well, we'll see how the Colorado residents, also Colorado, where weed is legal. Like, how is that a swing state?
Like, right.
That should be a hardcore Democratic stronghold at this point.
Well, I think in recent weeks it's become that. But
right.
Tim Kaine is threatening to ruin it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he should stay away. They should just put him in, like, send him somewhere. They should tell him, hey, we got a job for you, and just, like, send him off to some office, or just be like, hey, we have to keep you safe and put him, like, do that designated survivor thing where they put him, like, underground somewhere. That'd be better.
And while they're at it, why don't they put Dave Matthews in there with him?
Good idea. Good idea.
He can keep them both hidden.
I guess they're both from Virginia. So Tim Kaine, not shockingly, Tim Kaine, Dave Matthews, good buddies.
Put them in a bunker and be like, it's just not safe out there. Yeah. We'll keep sending food. Just, you guys, you're going to have to sit tight. Just keep them in there for as many years as possible.
Ed.
Yep.
South Africa
is
a crazy place.
Crazy.
And not just because you can be eaten by an animal or murdered by your Paralympic sprinter boyfriend. And I won't even mention the prospect of the takalosh. Do you know about the takalosh?
I do not.
This is in South Africa. So sort of like the chupacabra in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or the jackalope.
Yes.
In South Africa, or the yeti. In South Africa, there's this creature, and he's supposedly about, I don't know, like 4 feet tall. and hairy. He's like a dwarf, but he's not, it doesn't really have human form. He's more of an animal. But he's supposedly has a massive cock. And what happens is he comes into your house in the middle of the night while your wife is asleep. And he just starts violating her with that massive cock. And the thing is...
Oh, this is like a kid story.
The thing is, your wife kind of likes it. But after a while, it gets to be too much for her. And then the Takalash, and you guys think I'm making this up, but this is real. The Takalash, he fucking bounces. He's out of there. And he's gone. He's not coming back. But the thing is, now your wife.
Ruined.
Ruined. She no longer, what you have, you could be hung like Tommy Lee. You don't compare right. to the Takalash. The Takalash right. has got too much cock.
Now you're just waving a stick in the Holland Tunnel. Yeah.
And he's just ruined your wife. And you think, oh, this Takalash, this is crazy. This is a folk tale. No, this Takalash, there are stories every single day in air quotes legitimate South African newspapers about Takalash sightings, about Takalash attacks. You do not want to fuck with this Takalash guy because he comes in your house, he fucks your wife in the middle of the night, and then you can never fuck her again.
Sweet dreams, kids.
Look up the Takalash guys because it's a crazy thing. Okay, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Takalash. I'm talking about a different story. Eastern Cape police are now searching for the trio who sped off in a black BMW. People said a man was giving directions to the women when they held him at gunpoint in KwaZulu-Natal Township around 8 a.m. on Tuesday. Seems like a nighttime crime,
very,
Ed.
Very sexy time to be doing that.
Bright and early. Constable Mensende Mabombo said the 33-year-old man was walking when three women in a black BMW stopped next to him to ask for directions. Quote, as he was busy pointing out the directions, one lady came out and pointed a gun at him and forced him into the car. They drove into a thoroughfare 500 meters away. They parked the car and fondled him to get an erection. See, Ed, I feel like I've seen this movie too. His penis could not get erect. They then forced him to drink an unknown substance from a bottle. This got him aroused quickly. Was it Colt 45? Old English 800? Even though he was still scared and didn't want to have sex, he said the women collected the man's semen each time he ejaculated, put it in a small bag, and stored it in a cooler box.
Wow.
Ed, these scofflaws are still at law. Still at large. Quote, this is really confusing to us because we have never heard of such a thing before. The man was fully conscious throughout his ordeal, and he is still traumatized. So basically what they're saying is, three chicks in a Beamer pulled up at 8 o'clock in the morning, grabbed a dude, got him hard, and then jerked him off a bunch of times so they could steal his ejaculate. Ed, I need to know from you, what is a higher degree of difficulty? Facing Jake Arrieta or Clayton Kershaw or Madison Bumgarner? Or jerking off in front of an audience at gunpoint?
Well, there's a good part of the story and a bad part of the story. The good part of the story is if you're trying to find, like, you're trying to form, like, a college cover band. Yeah. Jack Off at Gunpoint is a pretty fucking solid title.
Good. That is really good.
Band name.
Yeah.
But hand jobs. I mean.
Worst.
If I'm under the gun, I'd be like, please, just let me do it myself.
I can do this much more quickly.
I'm fucking way better at it than you could possibly be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough situation.
No, I'm not. I'll be honest. I don't know that I've ever had a hand job. I mean, maybe as a younger man.
It's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I could do it better myself.
Yeah. If we're just moving in a direction, like a few seconds of one is one thing, but no, yeah, like a straight okay. session.
Let's not get too graphic here.
It's terrible.
I agree. Totally agree. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's something, this is something a little fishy. I know it's South Africa where the Takalosh is out there doing things. Guys, Google the Takalosh. Seriously.
But this is the fishy story.
the Takalosh is around. He's doing shit. It's in the fucking newspaper in South Africa, literally every day. Some heroes of mine, the South African rave rap band, Deontward. They have made an investigative video about the Takalosh. You should go out.
It's totally legit.
Totally. Well, they're South African. They know. You should go out and learn about the Takalosh. But that's not the point. The Takalosh, while probably real, most likely real, I'm not buying this guy's story that he got held up at gunpoint and jerked off for his semen. What I think is going to happen is somebody's going to end up pregnant pretty soon. And they're going to come to this guy for paternity. And he's going to tell his wife, hey, I don't know what happened. Remember that time I got jerked off at gunpoint? It's probably that.
It seems, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It seems like there are probably better excuses on how this could. You know what I would do? I would have her rent that movie where Alicia Silverstone took the condom, used condom.
Is that the one with Marky Mark?
Yeah, maybe I'm mixing them up, but yeah, like you could just say, "Hey, look, she must have gone through our garbage."
Yes,
but have her watch the movie first. Like, why are you wearing a condom all of a sudden? Be like, I don't know, just trying something new, and that would be my move.
This guy, maybe this guy hasn't heard of Boris Becker, because Boris Becker, he accepted oral sex from a Russian model one time,
mm-hmm.
at a bar.
Wasn't it in a closet?
It was in a closet at a bar, and then 9 months later, he was slapped with a paternity suit because she had saved his ejaculate and impregnated mm-hmm. herself with it.
But that would still get you into trouble on some level.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, yeah, he should have come up with something better than what he did come up with. I would have to agree.
You know what's the best move? You just say, hey, I went to get a drink, and I blacked out. Somebody slipped something into my drink.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
GHB.
You go a lot of directions, roofied. But yeah. But the triple assault vials. I mean, there's a lot going on.
It's here. A little over the top. Like the John and Patsy Ramsey are kind of like easy, dude. Like no one's buying that. Just calm down. Just make up something a little less ridiculous, okay?
But. Like I said, Jack Off at Gunpoint is a great band name.
Agreed. Totally. Somebody should pick that up. Okay. Unfortunately.
Again.
No fancy sauce this week. That is unfortunate because Ish has sent along an F. Mary Kill.
I love F. Mary Kill. I'll never be tired of it.
But I also feel like Ish really is in. He likes to get fancy sauce to answer sexual questions.
Yeah, so this was his attempt at peeking in her.
This is a way to get her to say
no. Nope, just a couple of dudes answering your question.
Speak about something sexual, but I'll save it. Because hopefully she'll be with us next week.
Come on, I want to answer it. I love a good F. Mary Kill.
Okay, it's an F. Mary Kill. Hey, y'all, Kate and Brian, congratulations on your recent overseas event. Here's a F. Mary Kill. Michael Bolton, Phil Collins, Eric Clapton. Go.
All right. Well, in any F. Mary Kill, you got to get the murder out of the way.
Yeah.
That's got to be Clapton.
Got to agree. 100%.
Fucking stole his friend's wife.
Kill him.
Wrote a high-profile song about it. And just a lot of terrible music.
All the songs he's written are terrible. He's good in the band Cream, one of the great power trios of all time. He should have just stopped there.
Yeah. Again, another guy who should have just mm-hmm. ended it there and it would have been great.
Great axe man, terrible songwriter. Continue.
Then you go to the fuck. And mm-hmm. you're going to have to go with just the good looking one.
Yeah. Yes.
Once he got rid of the Joni Cunningham hair, fried mm-hmm. hair.
Yeah.
Bolton's pretty handsome.
He got the plugs. He was going very bald. Now you look at him. He plays in that Hollywood Stars game at Dodger Stadium every year. The guy, he just sings a lot of anthems. The guy's got great hair. He's gone to the Will Arnett or the Matthew McConaughey doctor, and he's gotten the good plugs. He's got a good set of plugs working on his head. Go on.
Yeah. And then you gotta pick somebody who you're gonna marry.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, I'm not really enjoying the thought of a Phil Collins
right.
Till Death Do You Part kind of situation. Mm-hmm. But another song I heard, maybe in CBS recently.
Oh, yes.
Easy Lover with Philip Bailey.
Such a jam. That was a number one hit.
Solid. That was that was probably the best Phil Collins song.
Mm-hmm. No, he's got songs.
If he's friends with Philip Bailey,
yeah,
probably has access to the rest of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's right.
And with that, I'm hanging out with some cool guys.
You could get him to play a party for you.
Yeah, I could like have a lifetime. I feel a lifetime of access to like Earth, Wind, and Fire and cool guys.
That'd be cool.
Probably be all right. I could see myself carving out a nice, happy life with Phil Collins.
Well, one thing you're leaving out, and I agree with your whole, I would have chosen them all the same. The F, Mary, Kill. One thing you're leaving out, another benefit of Phil Collins. And yeah, all these guys have this, but I feel like this is especially important for Phil Collins. The dude is filthy fucking rich.
And he's written like Disney scores, yes, too. Like he's got like extra money that you don't realize.
So rich. He lives in a big chalet in like Zurich or Geneva. Like he's got a jet. He would give you a lifestyle. And that's important. Like if you're going to marry somebody and you don't really want to marry them, that lifestyle is really important. Ask that woman that's Kelly Preston, who's married to John Travolta. Like,
sure.
She traded for a lifestyle and she's gotten a lifestyle. Good for her. Susu Studio. Quick aside. I believe friend of the show, Travis Rogers, went to elementary school or at least kindergarten with Philip Bailey's son.
Nice.
Philip Bailey's son, first name, Sir. Sir Bailey.
Wow. Yes. This is an aggressive move. Recently, a buddy of mine, somebody posted on his Facebook the class picture of kindergarten.
Yeah.
He grew up in like near New York City, but like in the New York
Tarrytown,
something
Yonkers.
Okay. Well, he was in a class with John Voight's daughter,
Angelina Jolie.
He was in kindergarten with Angelina Jolie before she denounced her dad.
Did he get it? Did he
get Angie Voight?
Wow, did she?
He didn't even realize it, and everybody was like, "Look, we were in the class with her." He's like, "Oh yeah."
He just only now noticed that.
Yeah, he didn't know. Oh, he knew. God. He knew Voight lived in his town. Oh, he didn't really. I don't know. I mean, he was a dope. I don't know.
Angie Voight. Did she have those titties yet? Because she really grew some nice titties.
Yeah. She was a little ahead of her time when she was five.
That's true. Okay, Ed. Let's get into it. I got some. Fancy pop to do. I went on. I looked up some stories. First things first, we were talking about this earlier. This is a callback to the beginning of the show. We're talking about Donald Trump and his unfortunate comments.
Yeah.
Well, this, as always in these situations, there is some errant shrapnel going around. And Billy Bush, who only recently was bequeathed, awarded one of maybe the top, I don't know, five jobs in television as host of the Today Show.
Was he a full host?
He was
like, yes.
He's
like part of the lineup. Like when they get the five or six people together for the pictures, he's one of them.
That was him, Billy Bush.
Wow.
But the thing is, you didn't know that because he'd only recently, like,
the ink was still drying.
Yes, they had to buy him out or whatever. They had to woo him away from his high paying gig at Access Hollywood and really like set him up. Well, Ed, I'll just read you from the story. Things are getting worse for Billy Bush. after getting caught on tape encouraging Donald Trump's misogynistic remarks towards women in a 2005 conversation that was leaked to the Washington Post. The TV host's reputation has taken a massive hit, and now his career is feeling the ripple effects. The anchor is negotiating his exit from the Today Show with NBC, The Hollywood Reporter says. CNN reports that Bush is effectively already gone from the show, and his exit will be, I shouldn't be laughing, will be announced.
I mean, he's a professional lightweight.
I know.
I know. It's amazing that this guy is going down and bringing people down.
Totally. A source at the Today Show told Vanity Fair they had nothing to add to the report. The cherry on top of the misery sundae, and this is always how it happens, is that before the sky began to fall, NBC was apparently preparing to throw Bush a surprise party this Saturday, a celebration of his arrival at the Today Show. Bush joined the morning show full-time in late August after a longtime stint on Access Hollywood. Earlier Tuesday, it was also revealed that the Trump tape might have been uncovered because of Bush. Page Six reported that the TV host had apparently boasted at a party in August that he had a tape of Trump being a real dog. Word made its way to Access Hollywood employees who hunted down the tape that was eventually leaked to the Washington Post, perhaps irreparably damaging Trump's presidential campaign. Ed, let's review the tape now. I have it here. Donald Trump talking to Billy Baldwin.
She's still very beautiful. I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
Huge news there.
He was, Nancy.
He was trying to fuck Nancy Odell, who wouldn't? She's hot.
Yeah, furniture absolutely. Shopping.
Of course he would. He took her out furniture shopping.
I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there, and she was married.
This is great.
And all of a sudden, I see her. She's
such a
big
bitch.
Phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit.
Billy Bush, he's like trying to participate. Like he wants to be one of the guys, you know?
He's like in like movies and stuff. He's the friend to the bully. He's like, yeah, you get him, man. Like we were saying before, if you had a buddy that talked like that, you'd be like, what the fuck is that about? Like, what are you talking about? That's not how people talk.
No. Like, just calm down, dude. So, unfortunate for Billy Bush. I mean, the first unfortunate thing is that he's probably like 5'4".
If that.
And like, it's one of those things where if I were him, like, it's embarrassing probably, but he was probably making like $5 million and he probably had a 5-year contract, at least a 3-year contract that they're going to have to pay most of. And he'll get another job. He can do one of those entertainment shows. Like, that's, I don't know. It's like, I wouldn't be too bummed to get a couple year vacation at $5 million a year. Ed Daly?
Yeah, Pat, what's his name? Pat O'Brien still works, right?
He had a radio show out here. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, after those tapes where he's like just begging for sex and cocaine, like, it was great, but like, I mean, this guy was just a dope laughing, like trying to, I don't know. It's really uncool to be wanting to be part of Donald Trump's inner circle.
Yeah. I mean, the Pat O'Brien thing was much worse because he was real coked up and wind up and he was just being really dirty. Like this Billy Baldwin, you could see he's just trying to go along with it. Like,
He just seems like a douche. Yeah. Like he seems like,
right.
I mean, he was
what we already thought he was.
Right. Yeah, so like I was like, well, that's not the Billy Bush I know. Right. I only know him for being like, you know, the just the clips of just mindless bullshit that he's like excited to promo J-Lo's new album. Like it's not like you ever actually paid attention to that guy.
Of course not. Of course not. Ed, other news in pop culture, the Pound has taken a shit.
Still?
Who would have thought that taking your country out of the European Union would have caused the rest of the world to kind of be concerned about the strength of your economy? The pound has extended its losses against both the dollar and the euro again in late trading on Tuesday, Ed. Against the dollar, it's fallen more than 2% just in one day, at one point dropping below $1.21 per pound. While against
it was like $1.30 this summer. It's and that was really low.
And at one point it dropped way down one day, but it came back. Against the euro, it fell below a euro 10. The sterling has fallen about 19% against the dollar since the UK's vote to leave the European Union. One analyst said it was trading like emerging market currency. That's not good. Like the ruble. At one point, the pound hit $1.20 on Tuesday evening, and against the euro, it got down to a 109 euro. It's at its lowest level since Friday's crash, when it tumbled to around $1.18. Ed, who could have seen this coming?
Pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
And it was I got to London like a week after Brexit, and it was just a bunch of incredulous people like walking around London like, "Hey, can we have a retake?" It was it's the American election.
They didn't know what they were voting for.
But it's the American election.
Yeah.
It was all the rubes out in the country are like, "Oh, we want to cut ourselves off. We don't want any Syrian refugees." It was the same bullshit that's going on now. And it was just the dumbs won.
Yeah.
And they chose their version of Trump, which was, you know, to get out of the union.
And now the country's lost.
Yeah. Dumps, but like in London, the voting was you know heavy in favor of staying, but like in the country, just they're dumbs everywhere.
They didn't know. They want to redo. Ed, here's one that you're gonna like.
Yep.
Boyd Holbrook in talks to star in Fox's Predator reboot. Ed, you big fan of Boyd Holbrook?
Who's Boyd Holbrook?
Exactly. First of all, why are we rebooting anything? I think we learned our lesson with Point Break. They also redid what's the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and it's the future and there's the chick with three titties.
Did they remake Total Recall?
Total Recall they did, yes.
I don't even remember that.
I know.
I'll tell you what you can remake. You can remake something like True Grit.
That was good.
Which had the framework.
Yeah.
But John Wayne was a terrible actor, and you replaced John Wayne with Jeff fucking Bridges.
The best.
It was a great remake.
Better. Yeah, you get the Coen brothers involved.
But that's what you have. Yeah, you have to take like something that has the right framework, but needs work. And you can't just take an 80s movie that like, the father will like it, so bring his son. Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
And they tried with RoboCop, and it was awful. Flaccid. It had a couple of like good action scenes, but overall, it was a flaccid movie.
Peter Weller, you can't just replace Peter Weller with Joel Kinnaman.
Remake movies where the actors are all dead.
Yeah, and it's like you catch lightning in a bottle. Like these things are perfect because they weren't expected to be as iconic as they were, but for some reason, something resonated about these movies. RoboCop's a perfect example. This Predator, you're not going to be able to redo Predator. Like, who's going to play Bill Duke? Like, you can't, like, Jesse Ventura. Like, the whole crew of dudes. It's just an iconic, it's a place and time thing. Boyd Holbrook, by the way, is the guy that plays the cop on Narcos.
I still haven't watched that. I know I should.
Oh, yeah. He kind of has, like, a Macaulay Culkin vibe. Like, he's a towhead, very blonde, pasty kind of guy. He's not like a bodybuilder. He's not Mr. Olympia.
Like, right. There's only one.
These guys went to the jungle and they just like wore vests and they painted their chests and shit and they greased up. Like, such a special movie. Apparently, originally they were going to use Benicio del Toro, which might have brought something to it.
He's a good actor.
I believe they're doing a second Sicario movie. Benicio del Toro.
I love Sicario.
So good. So good. So fantastic. Yeah. Now that's a movie.
I'd like to watch that again, actually.
I would, too. Okay, and finally, Ed.
What do we got?
Big, someone that makes it into this segment of the show quite a bit. Shia LaBeouf. Throw a little rice out. I believe he's Jewish, so maybe we should smash a glass. Mazel tov.
The name Shia seems. I mean, yeah, seems Jewish. Yes. Shia LaBeouf. I don't know what that
is.
It's French.
French. Yeah, I believe it means the beef. Shia the beef. He tied the knot with his longtime girlfriend Mia Goth, who has no eyebrows. They did it in Las Vegas. They apparently wasn't a Jewish ceremony because they went to a chapel that known for themed weddings.
Oh no!
Which you could have an Elvis wedding or an Alice Cooper wedding there.
Alice Cooper
wedding.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of interesting with snakes and whatnot. They went with Elvis apparently, and then they bounced out in a pink Cadillac. Ed, what do you think? Well, we're in October. I'm going to give you the over under on 9 months of wedded bliss. What will you take? 9 months is what the line is set at. What do you have for Shia LaBeouf and his eyebrowless bride, German bride, Mia Goth?
I don't see them making it to the Super Bowl.
Oh, really? Wow. You're taking the under on 3 months or 5 months.
I think like a early Feb, kind of late January, kind of. If we're just not going to make it through the winter, let's cut.
I agree with you on that one. I don't think it's going the distance.
I mean, this is the number of weddings, Hollywood weddings, that, well, I don't even know if we can call him Hollywood anymore, but that worked in Vegas. Yeah, Paul Newman.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, he was married. Paul Newman was married in Vegas.
He and Joanne Woodward had like the Vegas overnight wedding, and then lasted until their death.
This Paul Newman, he was beautiful. Fucking
the most beautiful. So he's the all-time dream.
But also, a lot of times these beautiful guys, take for instance Brad Pitt, very good looking, very handsome, but doesn't necessarily have the charisma, the gravitas. It's very rare that you get both. And this Paul Newman, very beautiful, very good looking, and blue eyes. He was a handsome dude, but also gravitas. Fantastic actor. Like, you're compelled to look at him. Yep.
Like, as big time a philanthropist as it gets. That yes. Newman's own.
Hundreds of millions.
So many of these companies and, you know, charity organizations, there's a lot of just things that don't quite add up. Like, this was like, hey, I got all my money.
Yeah.
We're setting this up. This is just a fucking straight funnel to charity.
He gave it all away. Yeah. The whole enterprise was set up to do good work, and that's all it's done. You're absolutely right. He was the man, Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Let's wrap it up. Excellent job, Ed.
Great job, us.
Sorry, Fancy Sauce couldn't be here. I feel like we hung in there, though. We did a good job. We did an F Mary
Kill. Our best. Yeah. I think she might have had it. I'd like to know her opinion. We'll bring her FMK back for her.
Absolutely right. Okay. Excellent job for Ed Daly, for Fancy Sauce. I'm Brian Beckner. This was episode 139 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.